Matthew, the 26th chapter, if you'd like to turn your Bibles there. Speak to you for a few minutes on the observance of the Lord's Supper. We will be observing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper this evening, and then we'll be observing the other ordinance, which is baptism, next Sunday morning. So as we should look at it, the Lord is truly blessing, and we need to step up our work for him that he may abundantly bless, for truly he will. Matthew 26, beginning with verse number 26, says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Then in the book of Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse number 22. Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse number 22. "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Then in Luke, the 22nd chapter, beginning with verse number 19, Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse number 19, "And he took bread and gave thanks, brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Then 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse number 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." First of all, the true authority in the observance of the supper is the authority that brought it into existence. He was the one who instituted it, placed it in his New Testament church. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as we read these passages of scripture, they were to his New Testament church and with the church at Corinth, his churches. The supper is placed within the membership of scriptural New Testament churches. And the order that we saw here in the scripture is not by happenstance or by accident, but it's to show us Jesus directly placed it in his church, the church that he built. And by the way, the church was built, completed in his personal ministry. From that church has come all other New Testament churches that are true scriptural New Testament churches. And then we see that he gave authority to the Apostle Paul to deliver it to the church at Corinth. denoting the manner in which it was to be delivered to all other New Testament churches. So therefore, he directly set an order and established an order that is to be followed, and that order is that the authority for the church, for the Lord's Supper, is placed in each New Testament church. And by the way, a New Testament church is a local, visible congregation. It's a local, visible assembly, always. It is independent of all others, including those of its same kind. If it's not independent of those of its own kind, then we have a denominational church, and there's no denominational church in the scripture. It's all local. Church at Corinth, church at Ephesus, church at Philippi, the churches of Galatia, the seven churches of Asia, and so forth. Each one of them came from the same source, but they were each one independent of each other. And each one of those churches have the authority of Christ that comes through that church to administer and to observe the Lord's Supper. He placed it in the church to protect it because it shows forth his death until he comes. And the showing forth of his death is important, and it's so important that he placed it where he, through his body, the church, could preserve, protect it, and keep it pure, and keep that picture or that message that it portrays pure from the deterioration of mankind. Each church, each New Testament church, is to keep the supper pure. He instituted it by his authority. He gave it to Paul to deliver to the church at Corinth. The Lord's churches, as his representatives on earth, are to guard, protect, and take care of that church. Look at Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, his New Testament church, saying, all power, that's all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, which is that other ordinance we talked about, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The observance of that supper is included in that. Teaching them to observe the supper. In what manner? The manner in which he delivered it unto his church. The manner is important because of the fact that it portrays, again, the death of Jesus Christ. The death necessitating a burial and a resurrection, which is the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, the only thing on this earth that can change the eternal destiny of mankind from hell to heaven. And that's the facts of the matter. That's reality. And all the rest of this nonsense out here that they're portraying and setting forth is nonsense. God established his order, brother, laid it down in the scripture, set it forth, gave example, and showed how it was to operate, and the church is to follow that example, that teaching, and that order that he established. Now, we're familiar with the tabernacle, most of us, there's some that aren't, but the order that he set forth and established was in that tabernacle, even in the Old Testament, to the Hebrews of their day. Is the Lord's Supper important? Absolutely. No question about it. He delivered the supper to his church at Corinth through the Apostle Paul. Now, that order that he established, true partakers of the supper are only those who are regenerated or those that are saved by the grace of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. Says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Then Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. Acts 2, 41, 42. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Who's them? His New Testament church. All right, then those that were saved, those that gladly received the word, those that believed with all of their heart and trusted what Jesus had done to save them, they were added unto the church, and there was about 3,000 souls at that time, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's the word of God, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, that's observing the Lord's Supper, and in prayer. So, the partakers of the supper are only those who have been saved by the grace of God and then baptized. 41 and 42 give us the order. Those that gladly received, those that were saved, then they were baptized, and then they could observe the Lord's Supper. Look at John, the 13th chapter. John chapter 13. Verses 25 through 30. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now this is the observance of the Passover. And they were gathered together at the observance of the Passover when he instituted, after the Passover, the Lord's Supper. And so we see Judas Iscariot, an unsaved man. He was a member of the church, but he was unsaved. An unsaved man. If you have any question about whether or not Judas observed the Lord's Supper, he didn't. Listen to what it says. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now there's no sop in the Lord's Supper. That's the Passover. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag, that, or he was the treasurer, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, immediately went out, and it was night. Passover was still going on when Judas left. He had not instituted the supper at that time. It was after that. So God's order is that the saved, scripturally baptized, are qualified to observe the Lord's Supper. And it's also restricted to those that are orderly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 5 and beginneth verse number 11. But now I have written unto you. Now he's writing to the church at Corinth. He says that you not keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, or an adulterer, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. Now he's instructing the church. He's saying, church, now these kind of individuals in the membership, you're not to observe the Lord's Supper with them. How do you know it's the Lord's Supper? The only eating that's to be done in the worship service of a New Testament church is the Lord's Supper. Period. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So those that walk disorder, 2 Thessalonians 3:6 talks about those that walk not after the order, example that Paul and the brethren set, and walk disorderly, to put them out from among them. And so we see that it's necessary for a church to examine her membership and see if she has any individuals like this in the membership, and then to put them out before and not to eat the Lord's Supper with them. That's God's order. And my goodness, there are Baptist churches, so-called, that invite visitors in the service that they don't know anything about to observe the Lord's Supper. They pervert, many of them pervert it. They'll do it out on the beach or out someplace at a campground and what they call the Lord's Supper, and use Pepsi and soda crackers for the observance of the supper. You see why God put the supper in his church? His true churches, why he set this order? Because look, when it's left to man, what he does, how badly he perverts it. Well, why is unleavened bread used and not soda cracker? Because there's no leaven in this bread. It represents a body of Christ. Leaven represents sin in the scripture in many cases. And Jesus's body had no sin in it. So unleavened bread is what should have been used in order to represent his sinless body. And then not to mention those that that use perverted alcohol for representing the blood of Jesus. There was no perversion in the blood of Jesus. He got it directly from the Father. It was not affected by sin. Then it's restricted to those that are saved, baptized, in the membership of a local New Testament church and are walking orderly. It is also restricted to a self-examination. The church examines herself, and then the individual is to examine themselves. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and verse number 28. 1 Corinthians 11 and 28, the Bible says, "But let a man examine himself." Well, let a man, any man. No, this man is a member of the church. Let every member of the church examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Well, what kind of an examination are you taking as a member of the church? You're examining yourself to see whether or not you can observe the supper worthily. Not that you'd be worthy of observing it. Nothing we can do to make ourselves worthy of it. But that we do it worthily or in the manner. If there's division, there's contention, and there's strife in the church, you've got bitterness and confusion, and that's not time to observe the Lord's Supper. That's time to do church discipline. All right, so it's restricted to those that are of one body. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." The church is to be without heresies. Look at 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, once again. beginning with verse number 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. All right, let's look at this thing. They're come together. The church has come together in one place to observe the Lord's Supper. And Paul couldn't praise them because they were perverting it. He says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now notice, when you come together, church, into one place, at the appointed place and the appointed time, then you can observe the Lord's Supper. But if part of you are over here and part of you are someplace else, you're not to observe. You can't observe that supper. That does away with missions observing the supper, which is a chronic situation we have among the Lord's churches today. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? I shall praise you. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So the church is to be without divisions and without heresies in her midst. And she's to observe the supper as they come together into one place. That's the entire church, the whole body. The true place is in the local assembly. Look at Acts 20. Verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and so forth and so on. They'd come together on the first day of the week to observe the Lord's Supper. Again, the only eating and worship service of a New Testament church is the Lord's Supper. That's the feast that the Bible has reference to. Again, 1 Corinthians 11 and 20. They come together in one place to observe the Lord's Supper. The elements of the supper, unleavened bread, we already touched on that, and the pure fruit of the vine. You notice Jesus didn't leave any room for variation in what we were to use to represent the shed blood of Jesus. He said, the fruit of the vine, that which the vine directly produces, and it never produces alcoholic beverage. It has to be perverted by man in order to do so. You say, well, it turns to vinegar. Doesn't turn to alcohol. Now, so why use the fruit of the vine? Because the vine and branches that are talked about in the scripture, the Father produced the blood that flowed through the veins of Jesus. He received his blood from the Father. Therefore, he did not receive it from a sinful man. Therefore, there was no sin in his blood. So, We're to use the pure fruit of the vine. The purpose, Luke 22:19, 1 Corinthians 11:26-29, confirms that we're to do it in remembrance of him. Remembering what? Remember that he suffered, he bled, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Remember that his bones, the light was shining up on them. Remember the suffering that he went through and the great sacrifice that he made. Remember what our sins, what your sin and mine did to Jesus, where it put him. And listen, remember him in the garden when he was crying out to the Father that the cup might pass from him. And his blood became, or his sweat became as drops of blood. The agony that he was in. Listen, your sins and mine is what did that. We need to remember that. It should remind us of that. It's not just eating of bread and drinking of the juice. It's taking to heart what it represents. He said to do it in remembrance of me. Don't just remember that Jesus was God and he was God of love, but remember the sacrificial death that he made. The suffering that he went through and what our sins did to him and cost him so much. And also it says, it shows forth the Lord's death until he comes. You're here tonight. Your sins, as mine, nailed Jesus to the cross. Brought the suffering to him. Your sins and mine. Yes. Thank God he gave me the grace to bring mine to him and let him take away the condemnation. But if you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. There's no condemnation taken away from you. You still stand condemned already. But listen, this supper portrays the sacrifice that he made to pay the penalty for your sins. If you'll come believing and trusting in him and what he did for the saving of your soul. Let's stand. What should we sing, brother?